giving recently. It's a message about the sin of complaining. The sin of complaining. Lamentations 3:39 says, "Wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins." It's like, basically, if you wanted to paraphrase that, why are you complaining? What are you complaining about? Wherefore doth a living man complain? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, and I thank you for this opportunity to just study your word a little bit better. Thank you for the kids club and all the kids that were here, and Lord, I pray that they would too. Would you go out and have some new understanding of your word, the Bible, the book, Lord. We thank you for it, and we just pray that we can spread that in any way, in whatever way we can. And we pray now that we would understand it better. And Lord, do give Pastor Dave a safe journey back home, and be with Maggie and Matthew too, Lord, as they're traveling and been traveling for a while. Just give them all safety, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanksgiving or complaining. These words express, obviously, two contrasting attitudes found in all of God's children in regard to his dealings with them. The person that gives thanks can find comfort in everything. The person that complains can find comfort in nothing. Because you complain, it'll lead to another complaint. It would lead to another complaint. On a highway leading into Yankton, South Dakota, reads, "Yankton, South Dakota, the home of 30,000 friendly people and a few sore heads." I must have lived there for a while. They probably put that up there then. "And a few sore heads." The truth is, all of us at times become soreheads. We're all that way at some time. Now, we may also know it by many different terms, such as griping, grumbling, whining. My dad always called it belly aching. Quit your belly aching. And in the King James Bible, the common term used was murmuring. It's murmuring. And regardless of the word that we use now to describe it, complaining always has the same symptoms. And the dictionary defines it as an expression of unhappiness, dissatisfaction, or discontent. Complaining is the outward expression of discontent from within. When you're speaking it, it's something wrong with you inside. A certain man, well known for his constant complaining, inherited a large sum of money. And when he got it, he complained about, I thought it was going to be more than that. You know, he inherited this money, and he's like, I thought it was going to be more. So he complained about how much that he thought it should be, and he bought a farm, and he asked his wife, you know, what do you think they should name it? And she quickly answered, "Why don't you call it Belly Acres?" Now, this message probably, you know, especially with this small group here, probably won't apply to anybody in here. But I'm sure that when you go home, you know, your neighbor or your buddy or whatever, you know, you can relay this message to them. Now, yeah, I can call, you know, tell Rick all about it tonight, you know, because it doesn't apply to you right now. So anyway, we all need to hear this, though. Complaining seems to have become a great American pastime. It just, you know, we live in a very complaining society. People gripe about everything, and complaining, it just seems to be the popular pastime. And people seem to reach the peak of their satisfaction when they're complaining. Couples sometimes get together for an evening of just a social evening and get together, and before you know it, it's just complaining about this, complain about that. And just too many times it ends up being that way. Employees complain about the company, you know, which they're working for. You know, here it's the person feeding, you know, and again, I'm surely, you know, with Kim sitting here, I got to tell you, okay, I'm guilty of all this. I don't want to have her complaining about it later. No, but we're all guilty. We've complained about our job. We've complained about work and everything. Teachers, you know, Students complain about the teachers go complain, I've been on both sides, the teachers complain about the students, the kids were about the workloads. Complaining just seems to be a normal procedure these days. And complaining is so common these days that it could be called a way of life for many people. And just about everybody does complain. And why not? There is so much to complain about. But the Word of God comes down pretty hard on this sin of complaining. And preschoolers complain, I don't want to take a nap. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Children complain, my teacher gives me too much homework. Teenagers complain, you never let me do anything. all my friends are doing that. Everybody, again, moms complain. How many times have I told you to do that? Probably rightfully so, though. Even dads complain. Somebody has said on the seventh day, God rested. And on the eighth day, God started answering complaints. And he's probably still doing it, trying to answer all the complaints. Few sins are as ugly as the sin of complaining. And there seems to be very little thankfulness or gratitude today among God's people, but a whole lot of complaining, and it's become a part of our culture. But it sure isn't anything new, because who was the first complainer? Adam. God, what did you give me this woman for? I'd like to be able to say that with a Jewish accent. Well, Jewish people seem to be of major complainers. I call them whiners. I remember somebody told me that in Florida, and I had never really heard of it, but there was a lot of Jewish people there, and it's like almost the way they talked. Remember, Sharon Colin, and a friend of ours, and my sister went to California. I don't know who the people were. But they stayed with these people, and Harold, I actually remember his name, and I never met the people, but they talked about how even just their voice, Harold, what are we going to do now? Even a statement seemed like it was just a complaint. And it's just like it is, it's so popular, so common. So Adam, being the first one that registered on in the Bible, who was the complainer. And those who would never think of committing a major crime, like forgery or theft or whatever, and yet, they still commit this sin, and they're guilty of this sin. So all complaining, and this is, got to let this sink in, all complaining is against God. And this one, in preparing these sermons, it always makes me really think, wow, I do a lot of complaining. and it's helped me to attempt, not succeed yet, but it's been helping me to attempt to not be such a complainer. But it's, when you think of it, it is. It's a complaining is against God and His will for your life. To murmur, to grumble, to complain against God is a sin, and we just have to recognize it as that. So do Christians living in America today know the dangers of complaining? I don't think so. I don't think that Christians, I'm talking about Christians now, and we obviously don't think too much of it, because we all do it. But complaining is a symptom of a deep-seated spiritual problem, a failure to trust God, and a failure to be submissive to His providential provision in your life. God's providing for you, and your complaints against anything is saying that He can't provide for you. So complaining is a serious sin, and we tend to take it very lightly. And this is evidenced in Numbers 11, verse 1. Numbers 11, 1. And people think, it's just a complaint. It's nothing really bad. It's not that serious. But it says there in Numbers 11, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camps. Oh, boy, just for complaining? But who were they complaining against? Oh, but they were complaining against Moses. It was the food. It was this. It was that. No. That complaint is against God. So that complaint, God heard it. It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Think of that. The Lord's hearing all of our complaints. Man. So Christians who complain about their circumstances would do well to ponder this in Numbers 11, verse 1 there, and its background on that. God had been wonderful to these people. God had blessed them beyond measure. They left Egypt with all kinds of stuff. You know, they had all the riches and the wealth, and yet then they're complaining? It doesn't make sense. He delivered them from the slavery and protected them against their enemies, and you know, and then supplying the manna and the water from the rock, everything, and still they complained about their food, complained about their you remember, it was so nice back in Egypt. No, it wasn't. You were under slavery and you were doing all this labor and getting harder and harder, you know, and they forget. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. Finally, when they complained about the manna in Numbers 11:10, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And then that Moses was also was displeased. So let me give you three reasons why God hates complaining and is displeased with it. The first thing is, complaining denies God's sovereignty. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" He was even complaining. Who is that? The sovereign God of the universe showed his power, and the Israelites leave Egypt wealthy and go through the Red Sea on dry ground, which again is a miracle, and God destroying their enemies, all these miracles. And then their success in entering the promised land depended on the sovereignty of God. Like our daily food, what we eat each and every day depends on God. You start complaining about the food we have nowadays, I mean, some people do that too. You know, we're guilty. We stayed at that one hotel one time and we had all free food, and it was a big buffet. And after the week, it was like, the same stuff. Oh, and it's terrible. But it's terrible. You get these blessings and yet you complain. So, Pharaoh saying that about the Lord Jesus Christ, or God, and there. So, when people complain and murmur, when the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron, they were actually calling into question, you know, God, you know, can you really do this for us, is what it really was. That's why God was so displeased with it. And complaining, of course, is just the surface symptom of a much deeper problem, and that's discontent. And this is why the Bible so strongly condemns complaining. The murmurings and the grumblings of complaint are evidence that we are dissatisfied with the way God is doing things. And the solution to this problem is to recognize our sin and then realize and acknowledge that God always knows what's best for us. You know, sometimes we think we know what's best, but we don't. And even down to the little problems, God can take care of it. God can take care of all of those problems, and we don't need to complain about them. Every complaint against our circumstances, every grumble about even the weather, you know. So now I've said, you know, too, you know, when I come in and say it's, oh, is it cold out? I'm not complaining. That's not a complaint. That's just stating a fact, all right. But again, you know, and there is a certain aspect of that. You know, not everything a person says just because it's a negative saying means that it's a complaint. It could just be a statement of fact. But you do have to be careful of it. And again, sometimes the way people treat you, you might be complaining about it, about the daily trials of life. You know, it seems, oh, everybody's directing that at me. Oh, that's all, you know, oh, they're all against me. What is it, what do you call that person that's worried about everybody's out to get me? Paranoid. I always tell people, don't be paranoid. Everybody is out to get you. You know, don't worry about it. If you just think that way, then you don't have to worry. Yeah. So, no, but the paranoia, yes, right. But anyway, so who am I to put God under cross-examination. You know, God, this weather really could be a little bit better here. Or, you know, God, you really could be providing for me, and it's this way and not that. You know, am I in a better position than he is to judge what I need? No. As the Bible would say, I trow not. I don't think so. No. You know, God knows what I need. God knows what I should have today. Even if it's not what Glenn Bob thinks he should have, even if I think, oh, I really deserve this. No, 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 no. Paul, in Acts 16, starting in about 19, 16, Acts 16, around verse 19, Paul is in jail. Well, actually, this is before he was in jail. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains, he cast out some devil in the lady. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know, this is Paul and Silas being cast into prison. He's in a Philippian jail. He's in a Philippian jail, and you don't see him complaining. You don't hear of him complaining. Oh, you know, what's this? But rejoicing and singing praises to God. He trusted God's sovereignty. He trusted, hey, I don't know why, God, but you put me here. One big problem with our complaining is that it focuses on what's frustrating us, and we tend to forget about what the big picture is, what God has for us. In Numbers 11:1, when we read that, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. That's some punishment for a sin of complaining. But these people, you know, these people in this case, Numbers 11 there, they went on to complain about their diet. You know, they went on to complain, even after all that. They didn't like what they had to eat. And they went on to talk about, you know, what great food they had, you know, the leeks and the melons or whatever, back in Egypt. And they forgot that they were the slaves there. So you get all nearsighted and you forget, you know, yesterday wasn't so great after all. You got to keep looking at the big picture of what God has planned for your life. So complaining is always an expression of unbelief towards God's sovereignty in our life. Complaining is unbelief in God's word, which says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If the Christian really believes that the Lord is in control of their life, if the Christian really believes that verse in Romans there, that all things, no matter what we're doing, all things work together for good, he would stop his complaining. Just believing in that one verse, you would stop your complaining. So do you complain? And don't raise your hands on this one. We all can. Think about it for a minute. You know, what are your comments about the weather? You know, is it just, wow, it's really cold out there. Again, that's all right. But, you know, oh, man, that spoiled my day. I was going to have a picnic today. You know, man, you know, what is, you know, basically what you're saying is, what does God think he's doing? You know, it's really mind-boggling when you think about it, and yet we all do it. How do you speak to your spouse or about your spouse when your spouse isn't there? Better not be in a complaining fashion. What kinds of things do you say about your job? You know, we all have that too. Oh man, you know, my job. Mine was the worst out of anybody. Everybody's is. It's always the pasture is greener on the other side. Do you complain about someone who didn't treat you the way you thought you should be treated? You know, there's a number of different things what it can be. And the religious people seem to be the biggest culprits of this. So we need to examine ourselves. Here in this room, you need to examine yourself of how you treat these things. You know, are you thankful for all the snow? Are you thankful for the hot weather, the rainy weather, the cloudy weather? You know, I know we pray for, you know, farmers. You know, I pray for the safety for our farmers, because boy, that's a dangerous thing. You know, they could get hurt. Something can happen to them. But you know, are we thankful for, you know, all that snow? Yeah, I am, because it helps the farmers next year, whatever. But you got to think of this in every different way about everything that you're complaining about. Are you truly content with what the Lord determines is right for you? And complaining being directed at God, who has ordained all your circumstances, is probably going off the wrong way. So it's a complaining is a deep-seated spiritual problem. And it's not just a minor thing. And again, I think this nation is really, I don't know, just obsessed with it, really. I really do. And it just seems to be okay. It's like everybody does it, so it must be all right. But God hates it. It's a serious sin. And if you want to know how serious, He destroyed a whole bunch of people over this. And I think that's an example. This Bible is an example for us to live now. I think that's an example to us. Don't do it. I might destroy you like I did to them. I don't know if you've ever heard of bush eyes. One time a missionary was walking along the trail with the natives when suddenly one of the natives, you know, turns around and, you know, bang, you know, and the missionary jumps up and like, whoa, what are you doing? And it's like, oh, there was a deadly green snake there, you know, or some, whatever, a poisonous snake in the path. And the missionary didn't even see it, you know, didn't even see that thing. And he would have stepped on it, but he asked, you know, how come I didn't see that? And they walked on, and soon the native grabbed the missionary's arm and look, do you see the leopard? The missionary said there was no way he could have seen it until it would have moved or done something. And he said, why, you know, again, why couldn't I see it? I walk on the same path as you. You see the snake. I see the path, but I don't see the snake. You point out what looks like shadows and a stone to me, and yet it's not shadows and a stone. It's a leopard. You know, why don't I see it? And then he says, you have to get your bush eyes. I can just imagine that. You have to get your bush eyes. If you stay in the jungle long enough, you develop what they call bush eyes. And what an illustration this is. We could walk through life blind to God. You know, we could go on complaining and complaining and complaining, blind to the fact that, oh, you know, wait a minute, God's provided this for me. We don't need to complain. And all we would see would be reasons to complain. But when you read this Bible, you read about what God did to these people complaining, when you see, you know, all this, and then you think, you know what? The Holy Spirit is allowing us to open our eyes by giving us this in the Bible so that we can have God eyes. I can see what God wants for Glenn Peterson. I know that God wants that for all of us here, is to watch our complaining. Second thing is, complaining disrupts Christian unity. Numbers 13:30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They were basically, in effect, here saying, You know, we can't do, we don't want to do, we can't do what God told us to do. God told us to do this, but you know, we can't do it. It's too hard. The people are too big. You know, and wouldn't you say that verse 33 there is a little bit of an exaggeration maybe? You know, we were just as grasshoppers compared to these giants. Well, yeah, right. You know, told them 50,000 times, don't exaggerate. Yes. Anyway, all right, maybe that's a little exaggeration. But the 10 spies affected the whole nation of Israel. Those 10 spies that went out started to complain, and the whole congregation picked up on it. And then this sin is so contagious that it spreads like wildfire. It's a very contagious thing. It's kind of like one of Angel's dogs. Actually, for the last few days, whatever reason, and one dog starts barking, and then the other dog starts barking. This morning it was the dog inside started barking. Not complaining, just stating a fact. Even though I wanted to shoot the dog this morning. But it is. Complaining is just like that. One dog starts barking, this dog starts barking, this dog this person's complaining. This person. You know what? I can top that complaint. We can all top that complaint, right? There's always another complaint. So complaining disrupts this Christian unity. The other thing is that complaining doesn't change anything. it doesn't make the situation any better. You know, it only amplifies the frustration, and it spreads discontent and discord. And that's all it does. The third thing is that complaining discredits Christian testimony. Your Christian testimony is discredited by complaining. We talk about God and how much, I love God. I love my church. I love God. I love Jesus Christ, and I'm saved, and how good He is. But we're often acting like atheists out there with our complaining, our murmuring all the time. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And then it goes on, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. And then, and by doing that, you will be able to show people that we're not like this crooked and perverse nation, and this is a crooked and perverse nation we're living in. Among whom ye shine as lights, that ye may be. In other words, that this is the very reason that we're supposed to do all things without the murmurings, without complaining. Dave had a good message about, kick in, help out, do this. But not with somebody left this here again. You know, I'm going to complain about that, or I'm going to complain about this. Do it with the right heart, without complaining. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. So a Christian who is always grumbling and complaining is harmful to the cause of Christ and the name of Christianity. And nobody likes to be around people who are always grumbling and complaining. The world just isn't attracted to them. A young child surprised her mother with a beautiful and an unexpected gift that she had purchased with her small allowance, and she got her this gift, and the little one said to her mom, this is for you because you work so hard, and nobody seems to appreciate it around here. Her mother attempted to be modest by saying, well, your father works hard too. And the child replied, I know, but he doesn't complain about it all the time. So it left an impression on that kid's heart. We fall apart in the midst of trials, and the world says, where's their God? Why are they complaining? I thought they had a God that could take care of everything. What's their problem? How about Paul and Silas? They were singing and giving praise to God. What if their testimony had been a little bit different in that jail? What if they'd been murmuring and complaining? Paul, what'd you do? Well, how come you cast the devil out of that lady, man? Now look where we're at. What's this about, Paul? You know, Silas, I'm supposed to do this though. You know, come on, I'm supposed to do, you know. If they were sitting there bickering back and forth, what would have been that jailer's response? You know, it wouldn't have been, what must I do to be saved? It would have been, man, what must I do to stay away from this religion or whatever you call it? You know, that's all that would have drawn or brought out if they were bickering and complaining. God uses our lives to influence others. God used Paul's life to influence many people, but Paul was used to influence that jailer. And it went on that his whole family got saved because of that. I mean, it gets compounded. So most of the time when we grumble, we don't have any reason for doing it. There's no reason. Most of the people who do grumble are like the man who was always complaining and never happy with anything. There's many, many people out there like that. And there was a poor lady who always complained she had no blessings for which to give thanks. And her niece gave her a little box, you know, a missionary box with the words written on it, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" And the niece told her, every time you know that you realize you got a blessing, put a penny in there. And the lady said, "Yeah, well, I don't think they're going to get much out of me. You know, those missionaries aren't going to get anything. You know, the heathen are going to not get the message because there won't be any money coming to the missionaries from me because I don't have any blessings." And after the next church service, the woman didn't attend it, but the niece came around to her and told her about the preaching that night, and